Tonight, take your Bible and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Tonight, we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Very familiar verses. Verses that you probably know by memory. If you don't, you should, because they're very good verses to learn and memorize. Verses that we should have in front of us at all times, be reminded of at all times, because it essentially talks about what we need to do in our life and what should be the center of it, that is trust in the Lord. Notice what it says here in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now, we've probably read those verses many of times, but how many of us have actually studied them and looked at them closely to see what is there? Notice what he says here. He tells us to trust in the Lord. Now, that's not said in a vacuum. Of course, it's said with many other things that surround it. Go over to verse 1. He says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands." I was reading Deuteronomy today in preparation for Sunday, and over I kept reading the same phrase. It was either remember or do not forget. Remember what the Lord has done. Do not forget His word. The very moment that you do, then all the things that He was bringing on the nations, He was going to bring on them. He didn't want them intermarrying with the nations. He wanted them, when they went into the land, to utterly destroy them. And you say, well, how can God be a just God if they were to go in and destroy, you know, women and children and everything that they had? Well, see, the issue was that God was a jealous God, and He still is. And He wants worship for Himself. And He knew that these little kids would grow up and they would lead the children of Israel away from Him to worship the gods of their fathers. And so in terms of coming into the land that they were conquering, He wanted them to utterly destroy everything. He wanted them to tear down their worship. He didn't want to have anything standing. Now, of course, Israel's fall is that they didn't fully trust Him. They didn't fully obey Him. And we see throughout the history of the Old Testament the many things that came upon them because of disobedience. They chose, instead of blessing, which came from obedience, they chose cursing that came from disobedience. But notice what he says here. And here, this is fatherly advice given to a son. My son, do not forget my law. Well, what are we? We are creatures that forget, aren't we? We forget. That's why we have to be told many things over and over. And you know what it's like. You have kids and you have to tell them the same things. Unfortunately, my parents are here and they can vouch for that. And many times they said the same things to me. But that is the truth. We forget things. And we don't want to forget God's Word. And one of the ways that we can keep from forgetting God's Word is that we hold it up high in our life. We treat it with utter respect and treat it as the greatest priority of our life. Which means if it's the greatest priority, spending time with God, spending time with His Word, you can't separate the two. They're synonymous. When you worship God, you can't worship Him apart from His Word. When you pray to Him, you can't separate His Word from that. And so the only way to keep us from forgetting the law is to keep His commands. He says, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. He sees the benefits of that in verse 2. Length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Hold your finger right there and go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we find some similar phrases given here where God tells the children, what's He tell them in verse 6, verse 1 of chapter 6? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Then notice verse 3, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Well, notice here, similar phrase, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Of course, you could go over to Philippians and the phrase that we have been reading the last couple weeks together over in Philippians chapter 3. Notice what he says again. Actually, it's chapter 4. He says, "Be anxious for nothing," verse 6, "but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." And then he says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." So you see, whenever you cast all your anxiety upon Him, 1 Peter 5 tells us, you stretch yourself entirely on Him in trust and not relying on your own understanding, as Proverbs 3:5 tells us, what will follow? Peace. Peace follows obedience. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." Notice what else he tells them. Verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart." I believe the greatest thing that we can do is to fully trust God and fully be satisfied in Him. And when we have that type of attitude where we fully trust Him and we're fully satisfied with Him, that will bring Him glory. John Piper says, "God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in Him." In other words, the cry out in the churches today should be, where's our passion? Where has our passion went? Only things that we're passionate about are worldly kinds of things, mundane things. Where's the passion for the Word? I was listening to a message this morning on 1 Thessalonians. One phrase, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And the speaker went on to say that if you do not rejoice, you're sinning. That you're allowing circumstances to take your joy. Very good message. And usually we base our joy or our happiness on things that happen in our life, happenstance in our life. And our joy should be based and rooted on the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ. And out of that confidence comes a gratefulness. And in that gratefulness that we have to the Lord because He saved us, it spurns within our heart a desire and a yearning for Him. Look over with me at Matthew chapter 5. You notice there in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. What did Jesus say there? Blessed are what? The poor in spirit, right? Those who mourn, those who are broken, those who have a spiritual poverty. But notice what else He tells us. Go over to verse 6. Blessed are those who what? Hunger. Those who hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness. Well, ask yourself, do you hunger and do you thirst for God's righteousness? A few weeks ago, we talked about Matthew 6:33, about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do you hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God? There's a psalm, Psalm 42. It tells us, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you. My soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?'" Do you have that same kind of passion? You see, when we fully trust Him and we're fully satisfied with Him, it will create a passion. A passion for Him. A passion for His Word. A passion for the things of God. A passion for the lost. You know, it's sad today that everything is zapping our passion. Everything is crowding for it. You know, we have sports that go on year-round, and that crowds for our passion. And it might not be sports. It could be something else. It could be objects in our life, things that we own. It could be computers. It could be automobiles. It could be anything that would crowd out the passion that we're to have for God and the passion that we're to have for the lost. And I believe if you have a passion for God and you have a passion for His Word and you're fully trusting and fully satisfied with Him, you'll have a passion for the lost because you'll have the same kind of love that He has. Or at least you'll begin to have the same kind of love, right? You'll love what He loves and you'll hate what He hates. There is a type of love that God has that does hate. What's it hate? It hates sin. And it loves righteousness. We'll go back to Proverbs chapter 3. He says, trust in the Lord. What's the meaning of trust? What does it mean to trust in Him? Well, let me give you some synonymous terms that describe or demonstrate trust. One would be refuge. It says over in Psalm 46:1 that God is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength. Do you run to God whenever you have a problem? Do you run to God when things are okay? You see, what happens a lot of times is that when everything's okay, we don't feel a need to call upon God. But when things get bad, then we want to call upon Him. But either way, is God your refuge? It goes on to say that He is a very present help in trouble. And certainly God wants His people to come to Him in trouble. Let me give you another word, confidence. Confidence is another word that speaks of trust, or it could be used synonymously with trust. Look down at verse 26 in Proverbs 3. He says, for the Lord will be your what? Your confidence. And He will keep your foot from being caught. Of course, now that plays off of verse 23 and following. He says, you'll walk in safety in your way. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of the trouble from the wicked when it comes. Why? The Lord will be your confidence. A few weeks ago on a Sunday night, my kids and I, we sang a song. When I'm afraid, I will trust in You. That's a passage, I believe, is from Psalm 56:3, I believe. And years ago, we learned that. And I took the words and put up some music so that we could remember it. Because we want the Lord to be the object of our life. We want our trust and confidence to rest completely in Him. We want to know in our heart, without any hesitation, that He is our refuge. And we want to have this third one, boldness. Boldness can be synonymous with trusting, because when you're fully trusting and you're fully satisfied, it gives you the opportunity for boldness, right? You have confidence. You have boldness. How about security? You can rest in Him. You can trust in Him, knowing that the rug won't be pulled out from up under you. You're secure. I don't know how people can live in the misery of thinking that they could lose their salvation. That is a misery, because the security blanket has been pulled. It's been taken away. And the security that we rest in is in the salvation of Jesus Christ. It says over in 1 Peter 1 that we're kept by the power of God for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, Psalm 3:3 talks about security. It says, but Thou, O Lord, art what? A shield about me. Speaking of security. How about hope? Hope is another word that speaks of trust. Psalm 71 and verse 5, it says, for Thou art my hope. Is God your hope? Well, if He's your salvation, He's your hope, right? He's your hope and your salvation. Well, let's get a definition that comes right out of the passage. Look back at verse 5. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. A good word for trust would be to lean, right? If I lean on this podium right here, I'm trusting that it will hold me up. Now, I don't know how hard I want to lean, because when I look at it, my mental faculties come into play here and seeing this. But listen, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We trust and love the Lord Jesus Christ, yet we have never seen Him, have we? But yet we love Him. And we trust His Word and the revelation that's given right here about Him. That we totally lean on Him. Well, what's He saying here? He's saying, don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on the Lord. Now what He's saying, look at verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You see, that's the problem. We seek to be wise in our own eyes. Worldly wisdom. Instead of the wisdom that comes down that is heavenly. Trusting in the Lord is leaning not on your own understanding. And also, verse 6, acknowledging Him. How are we to acknowledge Him? It says here, in all our ways. Now, if you're acknowledging Him in all your ways, that would be synonymous with prayer, wouldn't it? You would be talking to Him constantly, bringing everything into into His presence that's going on in your life, whether it's good or bad. So what's the meaning here? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. I think the definition is self-evident right here in verses 5 and 6. Who is the object of that trust? Well, the object of the trust is found in verse 5. We're told to trust in the Lord, right? We're not told to trust in one another. People let us down, don't they? But we're told to trust in the Lord. He'll never let us down. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But notice the demand that's placed right here. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Your heart. All your heart. All your entire being. Now, to really trust in the Lord with all your heart can mean several things. It could mean that you put aside self, you die to self, you become selfless. That's a task, isn't it? To become selfless. Remember in Matthew 6:24, we're told that we can't serve two masters, right? We'll forsake them. Being holy is another example, or being set apart, or being sanctified. It says over in 1 Thessalonians 4:7 that God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness, right? A third one would be obedience. We're told in 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, we are to be obedient children. We're also told, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So it demands everything from us. It demands our entire being. And I just want to say that everything that God asks of us and everything that God demands of us, He gives us the ability and the power by His Spirit to carry that out. Because on our own, we can't carry it out, can we? On our own, we can't be joyful and be rejoicing and be trusting and acknowledge Him in everything. It only comes by His Holy Spirit. Let me give you a last one. Why are we to trust the Lord? Well, let me give you several reasons. Number one, because of who He is. Who is He? He's the Lord, right? He's the Creator. He is our Savior. He's our Master. It says right there in verse 5, He is the Lord. Second is because of what He said. What did He tell us? Trust. He tells us to trust Him. He tells us not to lean on our own understanding. He tells us to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. A third one is because He is the source for direction. Look at verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll do what? He will direct your paths. He is the source for our direction. He is the only one that can give us the right direction. On our own, we're going nowhere, and on our own, we're headed to hell, aren't we? We're on the broad road that leads to destruction. So we have to have some intervention. And then the last reason I would say why are we to trust in the Lord is because of what the term means. It means to rely on Him. Where are you at tonight? Are you fully trusting? And are you fully satisfied with Him? Can you say, as John Piper has said, God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in Him? Can you really say that? Are you really satisfied in Him? Or have you allowed other things to take your attention? Well, let's give our attention to Him tonight. Will you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for Your Word tonight. I want to thank You for Your truths. How that we're told to trust in You. And we're to do it with all of our heart. Not to rely on our own understanding. In fact, You tell us, do not be wise in your own opinion. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Because on our own, our wisdom is corrupted. It's demonic. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the wisdom that comes down from above, as James says, in order to fully trust You. God, fill our hearts with joy and obedience that we might be fully satisfied in You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.